All right, guys. I was reading your stuff over and then realized it was 12 o'clock.
That's all right.
No problem. Actually, I don't know. We were just on a team call. And it broke at like 11:35, and so we were all like, all right, we'll see you in 25 minutes, and my dad is not here, so I'm actually kind of curious.
Well, you know, he needs naps every once in a while, so we may have caught him at nap time.
So on my... Oh, he's texting me. He said he's on hold. Are you on hold also? That's odd.
He must have dialed the wrong number.
Yeah, I'm just going to, hang on, I'm going to put on hold real quick. I'm going to call him up and then patch us all together just to make sure he's on here.
Yeah, thanks.
So how's Florida, Rob?
Oh, it's gorgeous. We've had an amazingly beautiful season.
Well, I'll tell you, we've had some ridiculous weather up here as well. I mean, just crazy. I had to work from home on Friday, and it was pushing 70.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know, and we had, you know, a blizzard basically 2 weeks ago.
It's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think you're about to get some pretty good storms coming through. I don't know how they're going to hit you guys, but they're going to hit the middle.
Well, we were spoiled. I appreciated it, and I don't anticipate that winter is over with yet, so that's okay.
Still a little more to go.
Yep, unfortunately.
Let me go back and look at this.
I think Eddie's Kenny's passionate man now.
Okay.
Dad?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Rob?
Got it.
All right, good.
All right.
Ed dialed that.
Sorry, I was listening to Muzak on the other line. Something happened. I don't know what. Doesn't matter. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
Good.
I got a little of a local cold, but other than that, I'm just fine.
Yeah, I will probably be muting my mic for most of the call because I have this horrible hack. So.
Yeah, it's part of the game, isn't it, huh?
Especially in January and February.
I know. My poor wife was hacking last night, and she's a little better today, but...
Yeah, mine too, actually. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dad, I'm actually amazed. Your immune system must be in overdrive. But
it's got to be. I mean, I'm surrounded by illness. So
babies. Babies is bringing, like, the bubonic plague.
I know.
Everybody goes out there, and that the two babies ruin everybody who goes out there.
Yeah. So, but I don't know what I've got, but it's good. I'll keep it for now. It's at least immune to whatever's going around. So, all right. So, what are we going to do today? I've got a question for you. If you want to start with that?
Why don't we start with that?
I sent you a, you know, I'm involved in this historic society in the community. And I'm heading a committee that is, there is a 180-year-old church in the community that is went on the market to be sold, and I'm heading a committee to look for ways to preserve it. And we just had a big town hall meeting a week ago Saturday, and it was well attended, and it was covered by the papers, and it's the radio station called an interview today, and two newspapers have printed so far. And I sent you about 10 minutes ago a link to one of the articles that came out. And my question to you is, I'm getting in traffic a lot. Kenny and I, we also had a little fundraiser. It'll be a week ago this Wednesday, so it was 5 days ago in New York City. and Kenny and I were kind of rubbing elbows with people. And I was wondering if you could coach us as to how, when you're in that environment where you're either doing community service work or, you know, in a yacht club or at this fundraiser and you're bumping, you know, rubbing elbows with people, how do you bring up the fact of what you do and that, you know, you're somewhat interested without it being too much like a insurance salesman?
Right. You always, I mean, the purpose of those things is to demonstrate your abilities, right? Your leadership skills,
right,
your organization skills, so that people will admire you. And when you get to be president of an organization, so the whole thing is designed to get you to be in a leadership position, whether it's president or, and I always tell people, any organization you get involved with is a 7-year commitment, and you really have to go in and do it all for the right reasons. So it's this theme of giving, giving, giving. Now, while you're doing it, think of it as getting elected, right? So if you want to be president of an organization, you need to virtually get elected by the membership. So you need to get affiliations with different people in the organization. And you should do that outside of the organization. So a lot of times committee meetings and other things that you do give you a chance, fundraisers, give you a chance to get to know people outside of the organization. And your purpose there is affiliation. So you want to determine what you all have in common. Affiliate. What are outside other hobbies? What are things that you would have in common so that people relate to you and that you're part of the tribe? You know, everybody wants to have people around them that they're comfortable with, and the more they're like them, the more they are comfortable. So that's your whole purpose, is to make friends, frankly. Now, the second part is, why am I different and why should you do business with me? All right? So that's
right.
In any selling situation, the first part of any sales call is affiliation. The second part is differentiation. So in this case, what I would suggest doing would be to meet with those people in a different situation, like take them to lunch. All right, somebody that's an influencer in the group, somebody that you think would, frankly, you like, all right?
Right.
Different thing to do with them where you have a chance to sit and talk one-on-one, whether it's playing golf or tennis or you want to go fishing or you just have lunch or breakfast or anything. But it's a chance for them to get to know you personally and for you to get them to know them personally. And the best way for them to ask about what you do is ask about what they do.
Yeah.
So just like my wife was a genius at getting men, who she was often sitting beside, to talk. And so she'd ask them a million questions. By the end, they thought she was the most wonderful person in the world because she was allegedly, and she was, interested in them in terms of understanding, you know, what their families
right.
were.
Right, but, yeah. Exactly, by delving into their, you know, their who they are and what they like to do.
Right. So you meet a CPA at one of these things, and you say, let's get together and have lunch and talk about, you know, just have lunch and get to know each other. You know, that'd be fun. And so you're in a different situation. You could say, you know, we know each other socially. Let's get together and learn a little about each other professionally. That I'm comfortable with.
Mm.
But most of the
okay.
time, if you just say, I'd love to have lunch, sometime, and why don't I call, you know, would you like to? And he goes, sure, I'd love to. How's your schedule look? I'm going to be buried for the next, you know, week or 2 weeks, but then I'm free. Okay. I'll put a call into your assistant, and we'll set something up. Okay, good.
Yeah.
And so you're moving the ball down the field constantly in these organizations, separate from the organization. And it's not always going to work, you know. You're going to meet. I met with a guy doing that, and he just was no way. It didn't work. But
yeah, but then you have them off your list. You move on.
But I met with a CPA that was, you know, on my board, and he and I became great friends. You know, he was a perfect fit. And there's a CPA with a personality. That was pretty rare. So it was pretty fun. He was a good golfer and a good guy. And
yeah.
Down here to
somebody you enjoyed being with.
So it's just, you know, don't make it painful. Don't take people out that you don't like.
Yeah. Nope, life's too short for that.
Right. So there's no...
Right, because I think we'll be... I'm hoping that the team will be eating a lot of lunches soon. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've got another team that every Wednesday, that each member of the team goes out and meets with a center of influence. Every Wednesday. And they're already having really good luck.
Hmm. And that could be anybody, you know, just a CPA, could be just somebody who's sitting on a desk where there's people and...
Oh, you know, it'd be typically a person that you can refer to. But not necessarily for center of influence. They could be anybody that likes you, trusts you, and is willing to introduce you. That's a center of influence. So you're first screening to see if they could be a center of influence, and then you're meeting with them regularly because they are a center of influence.
Mm.
So, you know, a CPA, attorney, a business broker, you know, I love commercial realtors because they know everybody and know what's going on.
I guess most realtors are like that, right?
You think commercial realtors or so not retail, like people who sell buildings, not homes?
You always should have one retail realtor that you refer to. And that can refer to you.
Right. Were you making a distinction between people who sell houses to individuals or someone who sells buildings like in Manhattan?
Well, those would be – that's different. You know, you got amazing people in Manhattan that – I mean, those guys, I see them on TV. They sell a lot of real estate, and they make a lot of money. I mean –
Yeah, one of my best friend's brothers is, he works for CBRE. I think he's got to pull in $500,000 to $600,000 a year. He's actually, this didn't come up on the call because I didn't think about it. He bought a house. His wife doesn't work. He's got two kids now. He bought a house in New Jersey. Dave texts me about my thoughts. Steve is looking to buy a house on the main road in East Marion for $1.2 million. I just was wondering if, you know, what, like, renting it would look like, you know, his, like, break-even and things like that. He sent me a listing of the house. But anyway, Steve he sells buildings in Manhattan, and he's insanely driven and just crushes it. I don't know how to do anything with that, but...
You have three.
Go to lunch, right, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you have three realtors right there. One selling houses, right? One selling buildings, and one leasing buildings. So I was
actually funny. It's actually funny. His younger brother, the middle brother, leases retail space. He works for a similar thing where Steve sells buildings and Chris sells the space in buildings to companies.
Sounds like a couple of good guys for you to know.
Yeah. I just thought I totally would be. I know them personally through my friend. They're his brothers. So we've like gone to concerts and festivals and things like that together, but I haven't ever thought about tapping into the professional aspect.
Well, I have an idea, and Rob, what do you think of this? Who's the brother that is looking at the property in East Marion?
Steve. The older brother
right.
Sells buildings.
Yeah, so get in touch with Steve. Tell him that you heard that they told you about the house in East Marion and say, go to lunch over it. And, you know, you could certainly give him color in here. You can tell him that, you know, Nina's renting her house, that, you know, you have more connections here into this marketplace than he would, as a professional, would totally appreciate it, you know. So, you know, that's what I would do. And you could probably find out who used to own the house, you know, between Cindy. She's going to know everything. And they could give you an idea as to what it's worth. They could give you an idea as to what it could rent for, all of that stuff. He would be a huge resource to him. As boots on the ground. And, you know, and you could say, you know, you could bring it up at any point, what you're doing and what you're looking to do. You're a young guy like he is. You're looking for people that need advice financially. And you can help him figure out his budget. I'm sure he could probably do it pretty well himself. But it's a symbiotic relationship. It's one, you know,
I mean, there's a perfect example where you need a residential realtor. You know, you need a residential realtor to get a proper opinion on that, and they tell you exactly what it would sell for, and what the rent would be. So, you know, these guys. So, you know, you need to have all three of these people on your speed dial. Now,
okay, well, that's perfect. Since I talked to my residential realtor in that market on Wednesday, who's a client.
There yeah.
Now,
we'll get a lunch set up with Steve. Go in the city. Have some fun.
Yeah, I would suggest that these two brothers, might be fun to have in a mastermind group.
Yeah.
Because they would love to get together once a month and just see each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're friends with them, or you're going to be friends with them. And now you just need one or two other guys, and you got a nice group that you can meet once a month, you know, in the city or someplace, and have dinner. And that's your mastermind group. And let me tell you, over a 20 or 30-year period, that group is going to do really well. And you're going to get some amazing introductions from them.
You know, the other thing with those guys, with Steve, who's in commercial real estate, I mean, they are always looking for financing options. You know, you bone up a little bit on, line of credits, something that they could use, you know, just on short-term stuff. It's just something that you could bring to him to help him, and he'll reciprocate, I'm sure. So that's a good one. So that's somebody, you know, set this. Get it up. It's a good idea. Great idea. It'd be fun. There's no downside to it.
I would say, you know, next would, you know, a business broker or, you know, a kind of investment banker for a smaller, you know, that does smaller deals. Probably not investment banker. That might look too much like competition for you guys.
Right, Chinese wall stuff.
Yeah, but
Steve Russo is a middle market guy.
You know, a business broker, you know, that would know who's selling what businesses, you know, that are private and all that, might be a good guy for that group.
I don't know any of them, unfortunately,
Steve Bruce.
Right now. Yeah, but he's not in New York.
Doesn't matter. You already had lunch with him. He's just somebody that we could work with, you know.
And it should be somebody that you'd like to have a, you know, like to go to a concert with, somebody that, you know, is similar age, up and coming, because then you're going to like, enjoy each other and want to, you know, see each other once a month. So, you know, if you went to school with somebody or you affiliate with somebody that's in that, right, that makes it even better.
Yeah.
But, Ed, think about if you had done this, if you'd have done this 30 years ago, you know, what that group would look like today. I mean, they'd be running these companies, and you'd be their best friend.
Yeah.
You would have gotten a lot of business over the years from them, and you'd have given a lot of business. So that's the idea, is to do this now. I mean, you can do it any time. You can do it now, Ed, but the reality is the more time you have put into these relationships, the more value they have. If you're right, if you pick the right, like teammates, right? You got to just pick the right people.
Yep. Good. I like that. That's a good one, Ken.
Yep.
He's a good one.
Yeah, we're having great success with these centers of influence. The social prospecting is longer term. It's more networking, just getting to know each other and demonstrating leadership skills. It's a lot of giving before you get. The centers of influence is much more immediate.
Mm.
Now, a person socially that you meet can become a center of influence, obviously. You know, people, a person
right.
associated with this church fundraiser could be a CPA or an attorney that you enjoy and like, and they could eventually become a center of influence.
Yep. Now, I'm very psyched about the, you know, the church issue. It's giving, you know, I've been on the board now, I think 4 years, maybe five, and I'm definitely leading this, and I'm just looking forward to, you know, having something work well towards the summer. So I think he's, you know, I think it's looking good. So
good.
I just want to keep building it up. I'd like, you know, yep.
How are the calls going, the fundamentals of Supernova? Is that all working smoothly?
You guys want to answer? I think it is. It's going fairly well.
Sorry.
We have little bumps along the way.
Yeah, we have some bumps along the way, but I think we're ironing out those bumps. Some misunderstandings, but we are, you know, I think we're making our calls a little bit too more, a little bit too routine, as opposed to, you know, we were discussing it earlier, you know, delving more into the clients and utilizing it as an opportunity to learn more about them, or just to learn more about other opportunities.
Are you using the 24-month calendar?
Yes.
Okay, so that at least gives you a topic that could be interesting to discuss, right?
24-month calendar,
yes.
Just for reference, that's we build that, right? It's like we have one that we sort of built, but it is you're not talking about referring to it as something you've built and we're supposed to use.
No, you
with topics.
It.
Yeah.
Right.
Last month we did insurance.
Yep.
You know, insurance reviews. Kenny's got, you know, we've got a few things coming in, you know, enforced illustrations that may generate business, but I think it was worthwhile. And we collected, made sure we built up our database of client CPAs. So that was last month. You know, there's always going to be, I mean, afterwards I go and look at the client folders and I realize, I forgot to ask this guy, you know,
we went down
the road talking about something else. So, you know, I'll cover it again, but it's in the folder, so I know, you know, that I need to do it. We were having a discussion. We had an 11 o'clock call, the three of us, before you, and we were discussing what to do, you know, what March might be, and I'm thinking it might be something, but you know, you tell me if you have a better idea, but maybe just something regarding, you know, the new presidency and, you know, what we have a lot of good research that comes out on that, and, you know, what might that topic be, you know, tariffs or, you know, some shine a light as the, you know, onto some of the headlines that to clear up some client, you know, misinterpretations.
Yeah,
what do you
I
think
don't
about
think
that?
I do that. I'd rather see you stay with something a little more concrete because we have no idea what's actually going to come out of this. There's too much.
Yes.
You know, there's really no, I mean, you don't know what the Congress is going to talk about and do and when and why and how much it's going to impact.
The budget, so, everything.
Yeah, it's all up in the air, and, you know, you can calm clients down and say, look, we don't really know, and until we know, it's, you know, we can't anticipate. I know there's a lot of enthusiasm for business right now, a lot of energy. People are investing because they see a more positive environment. At least people like business instead of hating us. You know, you're not seeing the I hate Wall Street stuff and all that. So, you know, I think it's a much more constructive environment, but I'd rather see you stay with concrete things until you get them covered, like long-term care. I've got a team that's doing that. They've written, like, 8 contracts this month. So, wow. It'd be nice to get some business out of this, as well as education.
So what are a couple of the articles in 12-month or 24-month calendars that you've seen that you would consider kind of bread and butter? In other words, you know, of the 24, you know, these are 3 that you really have to have in there. So I guess long-term care is one, right?
Well, I mean, look, there's all kinds of, you know, I guess there's 7 or 8 different areas of planning that you could do. It's just a matter of time and prioritization. So you could have passing, you know, you could have estate planning, which, you know, is really passing on your assets to your next generation. That could be a topic, right?
Mm. That's true. That is actually a good one. And that, everybody, you know, we've done life insurance. I was surprised that the number of people that, I guess it's the age, but don't have it or had it and just said, oh, we don't need it anymore, so we let it lapse. I was just surprised that some of the people said, I don't have it. You know, they didn't. But estate planning, that's something everyone needs to do.
You know, you could legacy planning, passing on your values to your children through your assets. You know, how do you use your assets to pass on your values? Those are great discussions.
Yeah. All right. Good.
Now, children, you know, how do you plan for the next generation of college education for your children? You know, not everybody knows about 529. Yet, you know, so that would be that'd be something really interesting for people. A long-term care, I don't know
right.
if everybody needs it, but everybody should know about it. And, you know, what
right.
are the benefits and the costs? I think, you know, you have your, you know, at the end of the year, you have certain topics that you have to cover. So, I you know, November and December, I stay away from having a topic of discussion, except for required minimum distributions and tax selling, you know, tax swaps. Because that takes up a lot of time.
Yeah.
Cash flow analysis. I think that's a really important topic. If you haven't done one for every client, you probably should. How much are you spending versus what saving? And keep in mind that...
Oh, okay. So that's the...
Yeah.
You do cash flow analysis based on budgetary issues, not portfolio cash flow analysis.
No, budget. Budgets are the most
important.
Basic
part of a financial plan, though, right?
Yeah. Could be, or you could just update it and talk about it. You know, if you haven't done a financial plan for somebody, you could just do a quick one, you know, that piece of it.
Right.
Okay.
But just keep in mind, here's
that's
what I would
a good
say.
Idea.
No one is spending the exact amount that they should be, okay? They're either spending too much or not spending enough. And so you literally want to, after you get off the call, you know, when you ask the client, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA, you get the name of the CPA and you get, and you have a reference then. He's neutral about his CPA. He loves his CPA. He can't stand his CPA. He wants a new one. So you had a resolution on that question. So on every account, you go through and you say at the end, either they're spending too much or they're not spending enough. It's either one or the other. It's never they're spending the right amount. Now, if you can help them manage their budget by either making more money or spending less. And that's when they're spending too much. And on the other side, they're not spending enough, then you can teach them how to spend more money.
Is that where our wives come in?
Yeah, that's where the fees go up.
So it's true, though. A lot of people don't spend enough.
No, I know.
They're not enjoying themselves that much because nobody's given them permission because, you know, their parents grew up as in the great generation and they've never gotten over the fact that they're allowed to fly first class or go on this wonderful cruise or buy that beach house or do whatever.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. You guys like that idea?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe a little, almost like a simplified, you know, FGA. It's like, let's just talk about, you know, what's coming in, what's going out right now. And we'll delve into your FGA at a later point or whatever, you know.
Yeah, no. I think it's a great idea.
Or let's just focus on this portion of your FGA.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's a really good idea.
So now you've got a list of people that should spend more, right? And so what you do is you teach them how to do it. So you get together with a concierge travel agent, and they talk about different trips that are available. And you tell them you've got a budget of $30,000 this year that you can spend on trips.
Yeah.
Now you're referring somebody to a concierge travel agent. They're ecstatic. Maybe you get four or five clients to go, and you go with them. And have a great time.
And then you take Rob.
Right. And, you know, get a bunch of people. You know, maybe there's three of you. Maybe there's a total of, you know, five couples. And three of them are yours and two are new ones. And then you get to know them and open their account. But anyway, concierge travel agents are just like concierge physicians. They are great centers of influence, great sources of referrals.
Yeah.
They usually have cocktail parties and things like that where they get their clients together. It's a great place to meet people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I think we got enough here.
Yeah, those are good, really good topics, and I think that those can be very helpful in terms of. One of the challenges.
He goes with the hacking.
It's hard.
Don't worry. He muted it after the cough.
Well, that's where the germs come from.
You're hearing it from across the room.
No, that last one was directly into the mic.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Oh, sorry about that.
Sorry, Rob. What were you saying?
anyway, these topics are topics where you create value, and it gives you a little more confidence when you get on the phone to talk to people that you're going to be creating value. So try those out. I think they'll work, and we'll talk to you next month. Thanks.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks a million, Rob.
Take care, Rob.
All right.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.